13 minutes after 4 o'clock on a Friday edition of Bullseye on the Afternoon. He's Matt Douglas. I'm Andy Bullbarch. We're taking you up to 5:35 tonight. Then the OHSAA football playoff preview takes over, leading you right into our pregame coverage of tonight's regional final, Division II, Region 6, Avon, taking on Avon Lake, a rematch from the opening week of the season. I'll be out at North Ridgeville's Ranger Stadium tonight with Coach Tom Evans and Gary Pelter. Again, our pregame coverage will start at 6:15 tonight with a kickoff scheduled for 7 o'clock. Let's head back to the hotline. We welcome and our very next guest, Adam Burke with BangTheBook.com and Bang the Book Radio, joins us. Adam, as always, we appreciate the time. Let's start off by taking a look at the Saturday slate, some interesting matchups tomorrow. And we begin with a game that we will have on the air here tomorrow with Ohio State taking on Penn State. Pregame coverage at 10:30, a high noon kick. Ohio State, Penn State, and earlier today in your college football market report, you suggest that silence is deafening on the side for this one. Explain.
Yeah, I think this is a pretty difficult game for people to come to terms with. You've got an Ohio State team that's really only been tested once, and that was by Wisconsin, and we could debate how much of a test that actually was. The last 3 years here, Ohio State's won 27-26, 39-38, and lost 24-21. So for whatever reason, I guess we could say Penn State is the new Michigan State in terms of really giving Ohio State a tough time and a tough game. So when you look at the line here for this game, anywhere from 18.5 to 19, pretty much market-wide, moved up a little bit early in the week because Ohio State has such an impressive statistical resume. But this is not a side that has moved a whole lot this week. The total has gone up about 2.5 points, which is a little bit surprising given the iffy weather forecast in Columbus. But the side hasn't moved, and I think that it speaks to the fact that people really respect Ohio State's body of work here so far. They respect what Penn State has done in previous years against the Buckeyes, but we may just have a situation where Ohio State is just about 3 touchdowns better than Penn State, and this line just, it hasn't moved, and I don't expect it to.
Clearly a game Ohio State can't look past and ahead to next week with Michigan waiting in the wings, although Michigan maybe does have that luxury because they've got Indiana coming up tomorrow as well. But, you know, we'll dig into that game a little bit later on. Let's go to a totally different conference. You've got Baylor taking on Texas tomorrow as well. And that Baylor number's bounced around. They went from being a 4-point favorite to being a 6-point favorite against Texas. Which way are you leaning on this one?
Yeah, another interesting game because you've got Baylor in a really bad spot. I mean, last week they played a phenomenal first half against Oklahoma, blow the lead, eventually lose the game, lose their college football playoff hopes in the process. But they have one of the best coaches in the country in Matt Rhule, a guy that may be getting an NFL job here sooner rather than later. And also, they're still right there in terms of winning the Big 12. They could face Oklahoma again. In fact, they probably will a little bit down the line here in a couple of weeks. So Baylor still has plenty of incentive to play. On the other hand, you've got a Texas team that, you've got Tom Herman. He's very, very good in the underdog role. Texas is a team that traditionally just has a lot more talent than Baylor, is a lot deeper of a team than Baylor. So you've got some interest in Baylor because they've been very good statistically. They've got a good head coach. Their defense is clearly better than Texas's here. But you've got a Texas team that does well in an underdog role, has a lot of talent, and could be catching Baylor at the right time. So this line's gone up a little bit from 4 to 6, as you mentioned. There are some 5.5s out there. It's pretty much lined exactly where I would have it. I've got Baylor -6 in this one in my power ratings. So I don't have a strong opinion on the game, but if I had to take something, I'm going to trust Matt Rhule to get his team off the deck. I would take Baylor here, which is kind of maybe a contrarian point of view.
Transitioning from Saturday to Sunday, an interesting lineup of NFL games as well. This Browns-Dolphins matchup on Sunday has taken on a little bit of a different meaning with everything that's come down within the last 24 hours as it pertains to the debacle last Thursday with Myles Garrett and Mason Rudolph. Why do you think the Browns-Dolphins matchup will be the lowest bet NFL game of the week?
Yeah, I just don't think there's going to be a whole lot of interest in this game. I mean, you've got some questions now about how Cleveland's going to rush the passer without Garrett, with Olivier Vernon still being banged up. We'll see if he winds up playing or not. You've got a Cleveland team that, you would think that they've got the pieces and parts on offense to get some margin against some of these bad teams, but we don't know because they haven't played a defense as bad as Miami's is here so far this season. So, you know, can Baker and Odell and Jarvis Landry actually get things really going here? Will they be able to use that two-back system with Chubb and Hunt? They certainly could. But again, they have to win this game by 11 points to cover the spread because they're a 10.5-point favorite in this one. Total has gone up a little bit from 44.5 to 45.5. Again, I think because the Browns not having that pass rush element, maybe some people expecting more of a shootout type of game here. You've got a Miami team that comes north, you know, play in cold weather. They don't like to do that a whole lot. And also, too, Miami was a very popular team the last 3 or 4 weeks, up until that loss to Buffalo last week. So I think some of the public bettors that have been taking the Dolphins are going to back off of that stance. And I don't think people trust Cleveland enough to win by double digits. So I guess it's a game that a lot of people are just going to stay away from and maybe not even pay too much attention to.
Adam Burke with BangTheBook.com and Bang the Book Radio joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. All right, let's take a look at the spotlight games on Sunday night and Monday night. We begin with the Sunday night football game, the Packers taking on the 49ers. There's some early nibbles on San Francisco. That's surprising at all to you?
It's a little bit surprising to me. I mean, you've got a San Francisco team that is by and large built on its defense, and I love Kyle Shanahan, but this is not a particularly explosive offense. Jimmy Garoppolo really hasn't looked all that great. They've really been a run-first type of offense, which isn't really what we would expect from Shanahan. San Francisco does have several guys banged up on the injury report again for this week. So I am surprised to see San Francisco money hitting the board. I actually like Green Bay in this situation. Green Bay has played a much more difficult schedule. They've had offensive success against it. And this San Francisco defense, to me, they look a little bit gassed. This is a 49ers team that had their bye in week 4. Green Bay is coming off of a bye, so they're a fresher team. San Francisco's had some close calls here of late. The loss to Seattle, a couple of close games to Arizona. If they play well here, I'm going to have to reevaluate my thoughts on San Francisco going forward. But I think the spot really favors Green Bay. I think the strength of schedule that Green Bay has played is a feather in their cap as well. I'm not going to be shocked if Aaron Rodgers, you know, Northern California kid who's got a little bit of a chip on his shoulder because the 49ers took Alex Smith all those years ago, wouldn't shock me at all if Green Bay wins this game outright, and I think that they should.
Interesting you bring that up because a lot of people do say that about Aaron Rodgers. He's one of those guys that definitely holds a grudge, even though that happened about, what, I don't know, 13, 14 years ago. It's crazy how some guys don't let that loose, but that's also part of what makes him him. Taking a look at Monday Night Football, another big one, the Rams taking on the Ravens. Alliteration aside, there's a heck of a lot of intrigue involved here as well. What are you seeing or hearing that indicates to you that it's going to be a sharp first public game all the way around?
Yeah, when you look at where this line is, it's still sitting Baltimore -3 as a road favorite here on Monday Night Football, and public betting counts and percentages are overwhelmingly in favor of Baltimore. So you've got a lot of money out there on the Ravens in the marketplace, and this line hasn't really moved. So either there hasn't been any sharp money that's come in on this game yet, or the expectation is that sharp money will come in, and that sharp money will be on the Rams here in this one. You've got a Baltimore team that blitzes a lot, but the pass rush doesn't get there. You've got Jared Goff at home, where he's a much better quarterback. And you've got a lot of buzz about Baltimore, a lot of buzz about Lamar Jackson. In fact, one of the New Jersey sports books is actually paying out Lamar Jackson MVP props already just because they've got so much exposure on him and he's playing so well that they're trying to get some people to take a reduced payout, a reduced odds payout on Lamar Jackson here just to get some of their money back. So you've got a lot of buzz for this Ravens team and Lamar Jackson in particular. But on the other side, you've got a Rams defense that's really, really good. And one of the interesting things in the NFL is that when a team goes from being offense first to defense first, the public doesn't like it. Sharp bettors do. And the Rams have been very, very good defensively. They're top 5 in yards per play allowed. They've been very good against the run here this season. I think they're 3rd in yards per carry allowed. The Rams have a very good shot of winning this game here. And the fact that we've seen so much Baltimore money and no line movement suggests that the Rams are the sharp side.
All right, well, we're going to get into some college basketball here in just a moment, but because there is no show next Friday, that means we won't be able to speak to you between now and next Saturday, which is, of course, when Ohio State takes on the Michigan Wolverines, and that's always a game that gets a great deal of attention in these parts. Taking a look at some of the early lines for that game, and I realize there's so much that could dictate what happens between now and perhaps on Monday when you see some of these opening lines for the week start to come to the forefront here. You seeing anything interesting as far as what the lines are looking like 8 days out before that Ohio State-Michigan game? Anything even mildly surprising at this point?
I think something that's probably going to be surprising, just simply based on where we were over the summer, is that Ohio State's going to be a double-digit favorite here in Ann Arbor. And I've seen the number as high as Ohio State minus 13. My number in my power ratings right now would be Ohio State minus 10. Not to say I would bet on Michigan, because I'm not going to do that to myself. But 13 is a very, very big number, especially when you consider that, you know, over the summer, I mean, Michigan was favored in this game against Ohio State. There was a lot of love for Michigan over the summer in the preseason. And obviously the questions about Ryan Day and, you know, if he would be able to do the same thing to Michigan that Urban Meyer was able to do for several years in a row. So these two teams have probably been adjusted by about two touchdowns over the course of the season. And I think it's justified. You know, I think Michigan is playing better. I think this week is a tough game for them against a very improved Indiana offense. But Ohio State's going to be laying a big price here. They've been very good in this head-to-head rivalry. I do think Michigan winds up being the preferred sharp side next week. I think that line, if it does come out 13 and a half, something like that, would get bet down. But, you know, I think Ohio State is deserving of that big favorite role in the Big House. And obviously, as a Buckeyes fan, I'm hoping they continue their dominance.
What a shift. I mean, because you're right. We had this conversation, or at least we had a small portion of this back in, I think it was July or August, when some of those opening lines were released. And there were a lot of people on that Michigan bandwagon. And, boy, they looked so bad early in the season. You have to imagine that's kind of where the tables turned a bit. And it's a combination of things. It's not just that Michigan looked bad early on, but also because Ohio State didn't just look good early on. They've looked great throughout the course of the season. Many people would tell you they really haven't been tested at all this year, and that's a gigantic shift. Looking at a team in Michigan that was favored to beat Ohio State in the early stages of the season, and now they're going to go in at the very best as a double-digit underdog at home. I'm not sure that I've come across anything like this in a game of this magnitude.
No, it's pretty rare. And, I mean, I even see here the Golden Nugget out in Las Vegas opened Michigan minus 3.5. So, I mean, we're talking about, you know, upwards of a 17-point adjustment. And, again, it's justified. I mean, the Buckeyes look better than anybody anticipated coming into the season. I will say this. Michigan's been playing some of their best football here in the second half of the year. So I can definitely understand why people would like Michigan next week from an against-the-spread standpoint. I don't think they beat Ohio State, and I'll knock on wood. You certainly hope that that's the case. But I think this line probably does close somewhere 11.5 or 11, something like that. I think 13 is a little bit optimistic for the Buckeyes, but still, they're going to be a double-digit road favorite in a huge rivalry game. And like you said, I mean, it's a big shift from where we were over the summer.
All right, my friend, we'll close out on some hoops, because there are a few games tonight. And you mentioned this a little bit earlier today on BangTheBook.com, that there have been a few more Friday games than we're probably going to get used to later on in the year, when Friday games just don't happen nearly as much. But there were a few tonight, but there was one that stood out. What intrigues you about the Houston-Oregon game tonight?
Yeah, once we get deep into the regular season, on Friday nights we'll really only have the Ivy League and the Metro Atlantic Athletic Conference. So slates will be very light for Fridays. This is not one of them, because you've got a lot of early season tournaments going on. A very good game between Utah State and LSU. You got Texas and Cal. That should be a good one. Georgetown and Duke will be a good one as well. But Houston and Oregon is a game that interests me. For one reason, it's an on-campus game. And I think some of these neutral site games, you know, kind of get overblown a little bit. I want to see how teams do when they have to travel to a true road game environment, go up against that fan base, go up against a good team. And for Houston here, a lot of turnover coming into the season for Kelvin Sampson's team. Not nearly as much for Oregon. Dana Altman's team has played very well so far. They won their one big spotlight game against Memphis earlier on in the year. That was a quasi-neutral site game in Portland. I think Houston's a little bit young for this spot here. I'm actually surprised to see this line moving down from 7.5 to 6.5. I like Oregon in tonight's game. I like the under a little bit in this one as well, but The Ducks are just a more experienced team, more upperclassmen, and that really matters when you talk about going into these hostile road environments early on in the year. So we may find out a lot about Houston's talent level. I think they'll be a much better team once we get towards the end of the season. But I give Oregon the nod here tonight.
Good stuff. Well, Adam, as always, my friend, we appreciate you joining us. We won't have an opportunity to speak to you before next week, so happy Thanksgiving to you and yours. We look forward to catching up with you again soon.
Same to you guys. Don't eat too much.
Hey, we make no promises, my friend. We will give it a try. That's Adam Burke with BangTheBook.com and Bang the Book Radio joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Let's take a break. Matt and I will come back with more fun and excitement after this. It's Bullseye on the Afternoon here on AM 930 WEOL and 100.3 FM.